you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 12:07. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. My name is Shaletta Brundage, and I'm the host of the show. Now, we are in Minneapolis and St. Paul and Cottage Grove and Prior Lake, and we are really enjoying some nice weather. I don't know about you all, but I got some beautiful storms this morning in Cottage Grove that almost sent me into a morning nap. It looked like a sheet of rain coming down, which is great for our farmers. And it is a nice and cool 75 degrees. But I need y'all to keep our friends in Houston in your prayers. My parents are there. This is their sixth day without electricity after Hurricane Beryl came barreling into the Texas Gulf Coast. And we have folks who listen to this show. Jabbar Hassan is one of our faithful listeners, and bless his heart, he is also on his sixth day without electricity. And it's not as easy as going to a hotel because all the hotels are booked. People who have generators are having a difficult time finding gasoline. Before the show, I was chatting with my father, who is in his upper 70s. And he is driving around now trying to find gas, getting in these long lines and sometimes getting to the pump and there's no gas left to put in the generator to keep he and my mother cool during this heat wave, as CenterPoint Energy works to restore the power. So keep them in your prayers. There's still a million people without power. Even though the storm happened 6 days ago, they are still struggling to get those power lines back up and the electricity restored to close to 1 million homeowners in the Houston area, a lot of them elderly, like my parents. I got to, you know, get back to the Twin Cities because we've got a big day coming up today. Later today, the star is here. Little girls all over the state are coming and descending on Minneapolis today. It is a destination. I have talked to so many moms, and we have had sleepovers, and some of the girls are getting limos and party buses because they are coming to see Miss Caitlin Clark take on our Minnesota Lynx. Now, listen, we love Caitlin Clark. We enjoy seeing her, but we're going to be cheering for our Lynx. Okay, let's make sure we got that good to go. But she's going to be here tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Today, folks are coming in town. You can feel it. It's electric. A lot of these parents are excited that their kids are going to be able to see the woman that they've been watching on TV. You know, we just didn't have those opportunities when I was a little girl. You know, we would watch these players and we never get to see them. But we've got this opportunity now. She's here. And I couldn't think of anybody better to talk to about Caitlin Clark coming to town than Hall of Fame journalist. I'm talking like, you know, hang your head up Hall of Fame journalist, who is still, usually when people go into the Hall of Fame as a broadcaster, they're retiring. But this dude don't know how to retire, so he's still working. Charles Holman, did somebody not tell you that when you are a Hall of Famer, that means that you're not playing anymore. You're not writing anymore. You don't see any Hall of Fame basketball. When you're a Hall of Fame basketball player, baseball player, football player, you're not, Charles, that means you're not playing anymore. That is, you don't get the day you got your Hall of Fame, you were still working. That don't make no sense. That's not how it's supposed to work, Mr. Hallman.
I must have lost that. That memo must didn't get here. They must have sent that out and somehow got lost in the mail.
No, you put it back in the mailbox, like that episode of Sanford and Son when they couldn't pay their bills. They kept putting the bills back in the mailbox. That's you. That is you. You kept putting your, but you kept putting that back in the mailbox. Oh, shucks. How are you doing? It is always so good to talk to you.
I'm doing fine. I'm sorry. I'm praying for your family in Houston. One of
Thank
the twins
you.
Pitchers, his family's in Texas, and I was asking him about them as well. So I'm praying for everybody down there because that's not a, you know, living without electricity isn't fun.
No,
even
no,
for
you
a couple
can't.
Minutes, you know,
even for a couple minutes.
But for five days, that's crazy, especially with this heat and everything. But, you know, God is able and God is good. So we're. Make sure here protected. But I'm doing all fine. I got my work done. You lucky you got me because I was when you called early this morning, I was trying
you
to
You were slammed. See?
I lose no sleep in on Saturday. So I was trying to sleep in a little bit and I said, oh, I gotta get up and do my work now. Saw your message. So I'm happy to be on the call. I don't know why you think I got something to say, but I appreciate you humoring.
You're not in the Hall of Fame for nothing. Okay, you are in the Hall of Fame because you got lots to say, and it's all good. It's all good, whether we like it or not. It's still good. And Caitlin Clark is coming to town tomorrow. You have over four decades in this business covering women's sports. Talk to me about the impact of her coming to town and what this means.
Well, this will be the first sellout crowd that Minnesota's had since Game 5 of the 2016 NBA Finals. So that tell you how many years that is. That tell you something right there. Also tell you the fact that I can't remember seeing women's sports talked about on the front page of a newspaper or talked about on ESPN, talk radio, anything like that. That's something that we have never seen before. And the eyes that have been brought to this, to women's basketball, women's sports overall has been phenomenal. But I also want to warn our listeners and our readers that, you know, women's basketball has been growing for the last 5 years. And so therefore what this has brought on, what Caitlin Clark and her presence has brought, it's brought more eyes to the sport, but I'm also concerned that they stay and don't just come. You know, when the Beatles came in town, everybody was like happy for the Beatles. When they left, everybody left with them. I'm hoping that people will continue to see the game as growing and see young women see this as a game they could play, you know, as opposed to being told, oh, well, you're not good enough or you're not this or you're not that. So this has significance in a lot of ways. But also I want people to, you know, besides Caitlin Clark, Aaliyah Boston is in her second year. And now she's coming into her own where now people are seeing her play. She had a double-double last night. Her and Caitlin was the first duo to have back-to-back 2020 double-double game.
Wow.
And
wow.
That's significant. And I love Aaliyah Boston. She is a great player to talk to. She's a great person to talk to. So it's going to be a great game tomorrow, you know, and the Lynx is coming off a loss last night, their worst loss of the season. They don't have the Pisha collar. But it's going to be an exciting game. It's going to be elected. I'm going to church early so I can pray.
Right. I was going to say, we going to the 9 o'clock service so we can get there.
Yeah. Because
the game is at 3 o'clock.
The game is at 3 o'clock.
You cannot go to a black church at 12 o'clock and expect to get to a 3 o'clock basketball game. It is not going to happen.
Not my church.
Okay, now look. I know you got some stuff to do, but I'm going to ask you to stick around after we play these commercials because I want to ask you, with all of the excitement that Caitlin is bringing to stadiums all across the country, I just can't figure out why anybody is mad. Why the backlash? We're going to talk to Hall of Fame journalist and broadcaster Charles Hallman about that when we come back. Why are they hating on Caitlin Clark? I don't get it. She is helping to sell out arenas. She is providing a new generation of athletes with a new hero. The storyline is amazing. It's front page news. Everybody's talking about it. And she's, you know, being here shines a light on the other teams and players that she's competing against. It makes everybody step their game up. But you've got men hating on her. You got women hating on her. You got women in the WNBA who are benefiting from the buzz she's creating hating on her. Uncle Charles Hallman is here, Hall of Fame broadcaster. You are going to have to help me understand this. It seems like, especially with the fellow players, they're cutting off their nose to spite the face.
Well, let's set the record straight. It's a small number of players who has hated on Clark. And their reason is because they have worked hard in what they've done, and they feel that, you know, their accomplishments have been overlooked because of a rookie. Now, those others who are hating on her is for various reasons. And I think a lot of it is because they think that, you know, she may be getting too much notice, mm-hmm. and, you know, maybe she's not as good as she is advertised, which she is. But mostly it's because everybody thought that when she came into the league, that everybody was going to bow down to her. And that wasn't going to happen because she's a typical rookie. A rookie got to pay their dues, and
right.
that has happened. So therefore, when she's been she's been on the other end of some hard fouls, they made it seem like she was being targeted for that. And mm-hmm. players I talked to said that's not the case. That just happens because, you know, in the WNBA, they want to be. I had Sam Mitchell told me one time, look, this is my job. And so you're not going to come in young buck and take my job.
So therefore,
sometimes we got to send a message to you, let you know this is my job. And that happened in some cases. But I think that, and thirdly, is that people expect the Indiana to just come off and be a championship team, and they're not. They're still in rebuilding mode, and they still need to buy another more piece on the puzzle to be competitive. So now, you know, calling for her coach to be fired and all that stuff was just too premature. So if that helps, it's complicated. And unfortunately, social media doesn't help.
Does not help.
On there, you got people on there, that, you know, they see something and they take a clip out of it and they plaster that on and say, see, this is what they're doing to her. This is what happened. Or, you know, oh, see, blah, blah, blah. See, this is what people saying, you know, and that's why they hating on. Okay, no, they being critical. I mean, they're being critical because they know the league. And you got people mm-hmm. who are really, really coming out who didn't know the WNBA existed.
Right. Women are playing basketball in the United States? Oh, okay.
And so now they think they're experts, okay? And you can't be expert. You know, and I love them to death. But Stephen A. Smith need to shut up for a while. Okay?
Yeah.
Because he didn't understand that you haven't said anything about the league until this year, and all of a sudden now you're going to tell three black women that couldn't come to the league forever that they don't know what they're talking about? You know, that's bad. That's bad optics. So
yeah.
I love Stephen A., and I hope to I'll run into him in a couple of weeks, and I will share that, my sentiments with him. But, yeah, it's crazy. But, you know, I think it'll die down. I think it'll die down when, you know, when everybody will see – you know, see her playing very well. She's going to compete with Angel Reese for Rookie of the Year. Depending on who you look at, who you talk to, who should get it. You know, Angel Reese, who is doing fantastically. I mean, you know, she has had 14 straight double-doubles. She has broken Candace Parker's record for all time straight double-doubles. And everybody thought she wasn't going to be a very good player rebounding-wise, but she's second in the league in rebounding. Overall, not just as a rookie. So some people liking her to Dennis Rodman, the first Dennis Rodman, not the one with the dress. But
I was going to say, which one? The one with the nail polish or without? Which one we talking about?
One without, when he was a rebounding machine. You know, you just, and that's what they see Angel Reese as. So it's going to be a very good year. I talked to somebody yesterday, and we was talking about how this might be the most competitive league we have seen in a long time.
And I was just about to ask you that.
That phrase that, you know, any given day, you know, yeah, you can't discount records. You know, Washington might be the best five-win team right now because they got injuries. Indiana's starting to play well, play hard, and play well now. Seattle, who beat Minnesota last night, was struggling early because they had new faces, and now they get their stuff together. Las Vegas had their struggles. New York is so when you have a league like that, it makes it exciting to cover. Not just I hate top heavy teams, and then the rest of the teams are just floundering. I like it, and I hope that what I'm concerned about, Shaletta, is the month break. You know, Olympics, Olympics shut the league down, and then therefore, when it comes back in late August, you know, everybody's ramping up to get back in the playing shape again for the playoffs. And sometimes play gets raggedy, and sometimes play gets tacky, and those type of things. So I'm hoping that the week, and I've been around long enough to know
that that month off break,
it hurts teams, especially they're on the road going into that break, and they got that, you know, it's just like you having fun, all of a sudden you got shut down
right,
and locked in the closet for a week, you know, and then now you gotta come out, you gotta hope to recalculate yourself. So but this year is a very good year. I think it's gonna be exciting. I'm praying that people will continue to watch the league, and not just for Caitlin Clark, but watch the league overall and see the great players that they are. There's some great rookies. Unfortunately, a couple of them got hurt. They're out for the year. Cameron Brink was doing very well. She's gone for the year. You know, but there's other players who's coming out of their shell after a couple of years. Even LaPisha Collier, before she got hurt, was on an MVP pace, you know, to be in that running. So there's so many pieces out there. Tomorrow's going to be great. I'm going to church early.
All right.
So I won't miss anything.
And sit in the back just in case the pastor get long-winded or they may take up an extra collection. Sit back by the ushers.
And I got one, too, because it's second Sunday. So.
Okay, now, you got to tell me this. Who do you think is going to win this game tomorrow? Is it going to be Caitlin and her team, or is it going to be our Lynx?
I would say Minnesota because they only been on one. They only lost two consecutive games once this year. I think they pissed off. I hate to use that word because it's a family show, but they upset from losing last night. I mean, they got beat. I mean, badly. So I think they want to send a message, and then your fans are rabid at Target Center, and so therefore they might like Caitlin, but they like the Lynx more. So I give the edge to Minnesota tomorrow.
All right, you heard it here first. Hall of Fame broadcaster, Minnesota spokesman, recorder's own Charles Harmon joining us on the Shaletta Show, courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Uncle Charles, thank you so much for hanging out with me for a little bit today.
Oh, thank you for having me. Now I can go back to work. Oh, yeah, I just said, you told me I'm not supposed to be working. Okay.
You're not supposed to be working, sir. When you go into the Hall of Fame for anything, you are supposed to be on the beach in a cabin near a lake. You are not supposed to be still cranking out 3 or 5 stories a week. It's not.
It's raining over here. It's been raining over here, so I got the lake.
Sir, that's called a ditch. It's called a puddle. All right, Uncle Charles, we'll talk soon. And y'all keep laughing and keep listening. We'll be right back. It is 12:35, and you are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. It's the Shaletta Show. My name is Shaletta Brundage, and I'm the host of the show. Now, I have to tell you, any friend of mine is a friend of mine. So when my friend Chantel Booker called me and said, you have got to get my friend Shanae Hebert on your show. She's got a book. It's a guided journal, and it is amazing. It is changing lives. You know, a lot of us have dreams and visions and aspirations of writing a book or getting a journal written, and she's done that, and you will absolutely enjoy it. So I said, Shanae, I need you to send me one of your guided journals so that I can have it here at my house. Well, what had happened was when Andrew's graduation took place, some of my friends and family from Houston came and they fell in love with the journal as well. So they took my guided journal. They didn't care that I had written in it. They could care less. They wanted that journal for themselves because they saw how beautiful it was, how it so well put together. And they just wanted that for their lives so they could reset and recalibrate. You know, half the year has passed. Half the year has already gone by, and most of us have forgotten those resolutions that we made in January, those promises that we made, not to other people, but to ourselves, to start that business, to go ahead and get that passion project off the ground, to start volunteering, to lose that weight, to let go of that bad relationship, to start a new one. We forgot it. We got back into the routine of just doing things the same old way we've been doing it. But it's a time for something new. This is a new season. And so for me, and the reason that everybody was over here fighting and playing rock, paper, scissors over Shanae's guided journal is because it is helping us to remember the promises we made to ourselves in January and then reclaim the newness that we promised to usher in and to experience for ourselves. Nobody can do it for us. We've got to do it for ourselves. This success walk ain't easy. I tell people all the time, if success was easy, everybody would be successful. And the reason that everybody ain't successful is because it's not easy. But this guided journal has absolutely handicapped it for us and is giving us the soul yearning that we need to get it done. And that's what it's called. It's called Soul Yearning, a professional black woman's guided journal for healing and restoration. And I am so honored to have Shanae Hebert on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline joining me on the show today. Thank you so much for being on the Shaletta Show. First time here.
Yes, thank you for having me. And I love the intro, Shaletta. And I just want to be clear, my name is Shanae Herbert. You put a fancy spin on it. I love it.
Girl, you know what? I'm from Louisiana, so Herbert looks like a bear.
It looks French, right? It looks French.
It looks French, so. Girl. And then you got good hair, so you just gonna have to forgive me, girl. You can't come up here with a bear and French hair and not expect me to put some French on there. So it's Herbert. I got it, girl. I got it. Herbert. And somebody got my journal. I had to ask you to send me a PDF copy just so I could prep for the show.
I got you. And anybody else that want one, I have you.
Okay, now this guided journal, how did it come about? What gave you the idea to put something like this together specifically for black and brown women?
Absolutely. So I am a black woman, right? And like many women, I am a mom. I am a daughter. I'm a professional. I'm a circle keeper. And I have two daughters, right? And I was at the point where my oldest daughter just graduated from college and my youngest is in high school and she's involved in all of these things and being recognized for a lot of things. And I felt like, what do I have, right? Once they go on to college and, you know, go off into their careers. And I had to think back and say, like, Shanae, girl, what do you have that's only yours? Because like most parents, you know, we live for our children. And at the end of the day, I want to be able to say that I'm not just a mom, right? That I am a whole human being with dreams and passions and, you know, aspirations that are separate from them. And so I wanted something for myself. And so for my 45th birthday, I turned 45 this year. I was like, I am going to write a book. And it's ideas that I've had in my head, but I just didn't have the drive to get it done. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, get it done. And it just so happens, you know, serendipity happens where you start thinking about things, or maybe it's the algorithm. But my good friend Nicole Pacini had an online class where she was teaching people how to publish a journal in 30 days. And it was just right on time.
Yes, I love her because what she and so many others are doing is they are turning the publishing industry upside down and on its head. It used to be that you had to put together your best stuff, give it to a publisher, hope and pray they pick you, hope and pray that you can find a literary agent. And then if they say no, then that dream dies right there on the vine. But with Nicole and Devana and so many others and Amazon, you can publish your book and put it up for sale and on Amazon, and people all over the country can buy it. You can have a number one bestseller and not have a publisher. So long gone are the days where the little old cat ladies, because that's who they were, that's who publishers were, sit back and throw away your manuscripts. If you have an idea for a book or a journal in your heart or in your head, you can get that thing published without a publisher and get it online and get it sold to your friends and family and to the world. Now, I have to tell you, I love this guided journal that you have put together. It is called Soul Yearning by Shanae Herbert. And my favorite part, of course, I skipped all the way to career because I don't care nothing about love. I don't care nothing about relationships. I don't care nothing about body. I'm going right to career. And, you know, I tell people all the time, there's a price to pay for being the woman out front. So when I got to chapter 12, talking about the price we pay, it really touched my heart because people are like, oh, you're always out front and you're always doing this and you're always doing that. But behind the scenes, there's always a price to pay. Talk to me about chapter 12 and the price we pay for breaking the mold, following your heart and giving it all you got to be successful in your career.
Yeah, so I love that chapter. When I got started with writing it, there was lots of emotions that came up. And I just so happened to be, when I wrote this book, I was actually laid off from a job that I had and that I was passionate about. And as I was writing it, again, the emotions came up because as Black women, we exist in spaces that are not, that are oftentimes not conducive to our success, to our well-being, to our mental health, to our stability. And we're kind of at the whim of our employer. And so it's always like, our socialization says you have to work, you have to hold, these positions, you have to grow in your position, and you have to give it your all. And we do that sometimes to our detriment, right? And we work hard and we work hard so much so that we wind up having health issues. We wind up having, you know, for some even mental health breakdowns. And so that chapter is just about that, like the price that we pay when we're in these working spaces. We give up all of ourselves to perform in our 9-to-5, and how it's important to prioritize our well-being, right, our sanity, and sometimes even walking away because we are not our careers. Although it consumes most of our days, we are so much more.
Yes, we are. And folks will find so much more in this guided journal that you have written. Tell us where it's available, how we can get it, please.
Yes. So it is currently on Amazon.com. And so if you type in Soul Yearning, a professional guided journal, it will be there. You can definitely get it there. I am working toward getting it into local bookstores, and so that will be coming up soon. But the primary place that you can get it is
Amazon. And, you know, Prime Days is coming up, right? Mm-hmm. July 16th mm-hmm. and 17th, I believe. And so this is a good opportunity while you are taking advantage of those Prime Days on Amazon, because everybody got Amazon. Everybody got Amazon. We all got the Prime membership. So it is so easy to get on there, find the journal, look up Shanae Herbert and Soul Yearning, pick that up. And you know, we have a lot of listeners who are grandmothers of young black girls who are graduating from college and graduating from high school, and they have DM'd me and texted me and said, hey, you know, I want to get something culturally appropriate for my granddaughter. I'm a little old white lady. I don't know what to get for a young black girl who's graduating from high school or college. You have been a young black girl graduating from both high school and college. What can we get them? And I have been quietly suggesting that they pick your book up. Right.
Oh, it's
nice to put a little money in their pocket, you know, give them $50 or $100. But what I've been suggesting that they do and what I've been doing as well to the black women who have been graduating from high school and college in my circle, like Tasha English's daughter over at Shiloh Baptist Church in St. Paul. She had a baby graduate. Put that money inside of this book. Put the money inside of the guided journal, put it in a little gift bag and give it to them because it's going to feed their bellies as well as their souls. Shanae, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you coming by.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sure. I'm so grateful that for you to even ask. I'm so grateful to just talk to you because I know you're doing amazing things in community. So thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. And just know you have earned and deserved the right to be here. So oftentimes as women, we are grateful to a fault. And so this book is amazing. This book is changing lives. So every stage you get, every light you get, every opportunity you get, you have damn well earned it by putting your blood, sweat, and tears into this book because you could have taken these lessons and bettered yourself. You could have taken these lessons and got to your next level of greatness and to hell with the rest of us. But you took this, these lessons that you've learned and put them into a book so that we can all as women succeed together. And that is commendable. That is why you are on the show, and that is why you deserve the light that you're getting.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And y'all don't go anywhere. Stick around. The storm wasn't the only thing rumbling in Cottage Grove, honey. We got some political shakeups, and we got to talk about it when we come back. I was trying to find something to do tonight because this is my weekend without the kids. So this whole co-parenting is what they're calling it now. I don't like that term. I don't like the term co-parenting because you're just parenting. You know, I don't like that term. I don't like co-parenting at all. But it's my weekend without my children at the house, right? Not that they didn't come by because somebody forgot the pajamas and somebody forgot their purse and somebody forgot their money for snacks. So they did make a cameo this morning right before the show and visited me and kissed me. And I got a chance to pray for them before Sean took them skating somewhere. And I got skating videos popping up in my phone right now of the kids enjoying themselves skating and having such a good time. But, you know, so I didn't know what was going on today. I'm like, okay, so what do I do with myself? I don't have to find a sitter. I don't have to go looking for somebody to babysit the kids and then pay them and then train them and make sure they understand kids with autism and so they won't run out of the house and that kind of thing. They're with their dad. And so now I got to figure out, what do I do with me? And so Josh was like, oh, there's an Earth, Wind & Fire concert tonight. I'm like, what? So I might call up my friend Carrie Ring. Because the last time Earth, Wind & Fire was here with Lionel Richie, she and I went together and we had a great time. I came home with blisters on my feet because we stood up and danced all night. But I guess I could call Steve Simpson Mr. Opening Night, because if there is ever a concert or anything going on in the Twin Cities, Steve Simpson absolutely knows about it. And not just that, as soon as the tickets go on sale, he is there and he is buying tickets and he is taking selfies and pictures. I just don't know how he goes to work the next morning.
He's actually going with Vanita tonight.
He's going with Vanita. Oh, okay, yeah. See, you know what?
He said, Shaletta, no thanks. I'd rather go with Vanita.
He said he's always going with Vanita. And I don't appreciate the fact that he always picking her over me. I'm going to have to leave him a nasty note when I get back to work, if I ever go into the building. But I'm so excited that my friend Brian McDaniel with Hilden Advocacy and Law, political analyst, you've seen him on Tom Hauser's At Issue on KSTP. You've seen him on Twin Cities Public Television. He has a podcast. He is on the Hill. He helped me organize Black Entrepreneurs Day at the Minnesota State Capitol 2 years ago. A very good friend and trusted confidant. He is coming on the show later. Because there's a bunch of, the storm was not the only thing rumbling in Cottage Grove yesterday. Okay. There is some mess going on in the Republican Party. So we've been having a lot of knocks at the doors, right? Because there are three candidates right now out in my district running. And one of them has dropped out. He's going to tell us who it is and why. When he is a part of the show. So you want to stick around to get the tea on that. It's the Shaletta Show. We'll be right back. It is 12:07. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. My name is Shaletta Brundage, and I'm the host of the show. Now, we are in Minneapolis and St. Paul and Cottage Grove and Prior Lake, and we are really enjoying some nice weather. I don't know about you all, but I got some beautiful storms this morning in Cottage Grove that almost sent me into a morning nap. It looked like a sheet of rain coming down, which is great for our farmers. And it is a nice and cool 75 degrees. But I need y'all to keep our friends in Houston in your prayers. My parents are there. This is their sixth day without electricity after Hurricane Beryl came barreling into the Texas Gulf Coast. And we have folks who listen to this show. Jabbar Hassan is one of our faithful listeners, and bless his heart, he is also on his sixth day without electricity. And it's not as easy as going to a hotel because all the hotels are booked. People who have generators are having a difficult time finding gasoline. Before the show, I was chatting with my father, who is in his upper 70s. And he is driving around now trying to find gas, getting in these long lines and sometimes getting to the pump and there's no gas left to put in the generator to keep he and my mother cool during this heat wave as CenterPoint Energy works to restore the power. So keep them in your prayers. There's still a million people without power. Even though the storm happened 6 days ago, they are still struggling to get those power lines back up and the electricity restored to close to 1 million homeowners in the Houston area, a lot of them elderly, like my parents. I got to, you know, get back to the Twin Cities because we've got a big day coming up today. Later today, the star is here. Little girls all over the state are coming and descending on Minneapolis today. It is a destination. I have talked to so many moms and we have had sleepovers and some of the girls are getting limos and party buses because they are coming to see Miss Caitlin Clark take on our Minnesota Lynx. Now, listen, we love Caitlin Clark. We enjoy seeing her, but we're going to be cheering for our Lynx. Okay, let's make sure we got that good to go. But she's going to be here tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Today, folks are coming in town. You can feel it. It's electric. A lot of these parents are excited that their kids are going to be able to see the woman that they've been watching on TV. You know, we just didn't have those opportunities when I was a little girl. You know, we would watch these players and we never get to see them. But we've got this opportunity now. She's here. And I couldn't think of anybody better to talk to about Caitlin Clark coming to town than Hall of Fame journalist. I'm talking like, you know, hang your head up Hall of Fame journalist who is still, usually when people go into the Hall of Fame as a broadcaster, they're retiring. But this dude don't know how to retire, so he's still working. Charles Holman, did somebody not tell you that when you are a Hall of Famer, That means that you're not playing anymore. You're not writing anymore. You don't see any Hall of Fame basketball. When you're a Hall of Fame basketball player, baseball player, football player, you're not, Charles, that means you're not playing anymore. That is, you don't get the day you got your Hall of Fame, you were still working. That don't make no sense. That's not how it's supposed to work, Mr. Harmon.
I must have lost that. That memo must didn't get here. They must have sent that out and somehow got lost in the mail.
No, you put it back in the mailbox, like that episode of Sanford and Son when they can't pay their bills. They kept putting the bills back in the mailbox. That's you. That is you. You kept putting that back in the mailbox. Oh, shucks. How are you doing? It is always so good to talk to you.
I'm doing fine. I'm sorry. I'm praying for your family in Houston. One of the twins' pictures, his family's in Texas, and I was asking him about them as well. So I'm praying for everybody down there because that's not a, you know, living without electricity isn't fun.
No, you can't.
Even for a couple minutes. But for five days, that's crazy, especially with this heat and everything. But, you know, God is able and God is good, so we'll make sure he's protected. But I'm doing fine. I got my work done. You're lucky you got me because I was, when you called early this morning, I was trying to sleep in.
See?
I lose no sleep in on Saturday, so I was trying to sleep in a little bit, and I said, oh, I got to get up and do my work now. Saw your message, so I'm happy to be on the call. I don't know why you think I got something to say, but I appreciate you.
You're not in the Hall of Fame for nothing, okay? You are in the Hall of Fame because you got lots to say, and it's all good. It's all good. Whether we like it or not, it's still good. And Caitlin Clark is coming to town tomorrow. You have over four decades in this business covering women's sports. Talk to me about the impact of her coming to town and what this means.
Well, this will be the first sellout crowd that Minnesota's had since Game 5 of the 2016 NBA Finals. So that tell you how many years that is. That tell you something right there. Also tell you the fact that I can't remember seeing women's sports talked about on the front page of a newspaper or talked about on ESPN, talk radio, anything like that. That's something that we have never seen before. And the eyes that have been brought to this, to women's basketball, women's sports overall has been phenomenal. But I also want to warn our listeners and our readers that, you know, women's basketball has been growing for the last 5 years. And so therefore what this has brought on, what Caitlin Clark and her presence has brought, it brought more eyes to the sport, but I'm also concerned that they stay and don't just come. You know, when the Beatles came in town, everybody was happy for the Beatles. When they left, everybody left with them. I'm hoping that people will continue to see the game as growing and see young women see this as a game they could play, you know, as opposed to being told, oh, well, you're not good enough, or you're not this, or you're not that. So this has significance in a lot of ways. But also I want people to, you know, besides Caitlin Clark, Aaliyah Boston is in her second year, and now she's coming into her own where now people are seeing her play. She had a double-double last night. Her and Caitlin was the first duo to have back-to-back 2020 double-double game.
Wow, that's
significant. And I love Aaliyah Boston. She is a great player to talk to, a great person to talk to. So it's going to be a great game tomorrow, you know, and the Lynx is coming off a loss last night, their worst loss of the season. They don't have the Pisha Collar. But it's going to be an exciting game. It's going to be elected. I'm going to church early so I can pray.
Right. I was going to say, we going to the 9 o'clock service so we can get there.
Yeah. Because the game is at 3 o'clock.
The game is at three o'clock. You cannot go to a black church at 12 o'clock and expect to get to a 3 o'clock basketball game. It is not gonna happen.
Not my church. Anyway.
Okay. Now look. I know you got some stuff to do, but I'm going to ask you to stick around after we play these commercials, because I want to ask you, with all of the excitement that Caitlin is bringing to stadiums all across the country, I just can't figure out why anybody is mad. Why the backlash? We're going to talk to Hall of Fame journalist and broadcaster Charles Hallman about that when we come back. Why are they hating on Caitlin Clark? I don't get it. She is helping to sell out arenas. She is providing a new generation of athletes with a new hero. The storyline is amazing. It's front page news. Everybody's talking about it. And she's, you know, being here shines a light on the other teams and players that she's competing against. It makes everybody step their game up. But you've got men hating on her. You got women hating on her. You got women in the WNBA who are benefiting from the buzz she's creating hating on her. Uncle Charles Hallman is here, Hall of Fame broadcaster. You are going to have to help me understand this. It seems like, especially with the fellow players, they're cutting off their nose to spite the face.
Well, just set the record straight. It's a small number of players who has hated on Clark. And the reason is because they have worked hard in what they've done, and they feel that, you know, their accomplishments has been overlooked because of a rookie. Now, those others who are hating on her is for various reasons. And I think a lot of it is because they think that, you know, she may be getting too much notice, mm-hmm. and, you know, maybe she's not as good as she is advertised, which she is. But mostly it's because everybody thought that when she came into the league, that everybody was going to bow down to her. And that wasn't going to happen because she's a typical rookie. A rookie got to pay their dues, and
right.
That has happened. So therefore, when she's been she's been on the other end of some hard fouls, they made it seem like she was being targeted for that. And mm-hmm. players I talked to said that's not the case. That just happens because, you know, in the WNBA, they want to teach. I had Sam Mitchell told me one time, look, this is my job. And so you're not going to come in young buck and take my job. So therefore, sometimes we got to send a message to you, let you know this is my job. And that happened in some cases. But I think that, and thirdly, is that people expect that Indiana just come off and be a championship team, and they're not. They're still in rebuilding mode, and they still need to buy another more piece on the puzzle to be competitive. So now, you know, calling for her coach to be fired and all that stuff was just too premature. So if that helps, it's complicated. And unfortunately, social media doesn't help.
Does not help.
On there, you got people on there, that, you know, they see something and they take a clip out of it. And they plaster that on and say, see, this is what they're doing to her. This is what happened. Or, you know, oh, see, blah, blah, blah. See, this is what people saying, you know, and that's why they hating on. Okay, no, they being critical. I mean, they're being critical because they know the league. And you got people mm-hmm. who are really, really coming out who didn't know the WNBA existed.
Right. Women are playing basketball in the United States? Oh, okay.
And so now they think they're experts, okay? And you can't be expert. You know, and I love them to death. But Stephen A. Smith need to shut up for a while.
Okay? Yeah.
Because he didn't understand that you hadn't said anything about the league until this year. And all of a sudden now you're going to tell three black women that could come to the league forever that they don't know what they're talking about? You know, that's bad. That's bad optics. So
yeah.
I love Stephen A., and I hope to I'll run into him in a couple of weeks, and I will share that my sentiments with him. But yeah, it's crazy. But you know, I think it'll die down. I think it'll die down when everybody will see her playing very well. She's going to compete with Angel Reese for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Depends on who you look at, who you talk to, who should get it. you know, Angel Reese, who is doing fantastically. I mean, you know, she has had 14 straight double-doubles. She has broken Candace Parker's record for all time straight double-doubles. And everybody thought she wasn't going to be a very good player rebounding-wise. She's second in the league in rebounding overall, not just as a rookie. So some people are liking her to Dennis Rodman, the first Dennis Rodman, not the one with the dress. But,
I was going to say, which one? The one with the nail polish or without? Which one we talking about?
One without, when he was a rebounding machine. You know, you just, and that's what they see Angel Reese as. So it's going to be a very good, I talked to somebody yesterday, and we was talking about how this might be the most competitive league we have seen in a long time.
And I was just about to ask you that.
That phrase that, you know, any given day, you know, yeah, you can't discount records. You know, Washington might be the best 5-win team right now because they got injuries. Indiana's starting to play well, play hard, and play well now. Seattle, who beat Minnesota last night, was struggling early because they had new faces, and now they get their stuff together. Las Vegas had their struggles. New York is. So when you have a league like that, it makes it exciting to cover. Not just, I hate top heavy teams and then the rest of the teams are just floundering. I like it, and I hope that what I'm concerned about, Shaletta, is the month break. You know, Olympics, Olympics shut the league down, and then therefore, when it comes back in late August, you know, everybody's ramping up to get back into playing shape again for the playoffs, and sometimes play gets raggedy and sometimes play gets tacky and those type of things. So I'm hoping that the week, and I've been around long enough to know
that that month off break
it hurts teams, especially they're on the road going into that break, and then got that, you know, it's just like you having fun, all of a sudden you got shut down
right
and locked in the closet for a week, you know, and then now you gotta come out, you gotta hope to recalculate yourself. So but this year is a very good year. I think it's gonna be exciting. I'm praying that people will continue to watch the league, and not just for Caitlin Clark, but watch the league overall and see the great players that they are. There's some great rookies. Some of them, unfortunately, a couple of them got hurt. They out for the year. Cameron Brink was doing very well. She's gone for the year. You know, but there's other players who's coming out of their shell after a couple of years. Even LaPisha Collier, before she got hurt, was on an MVP pace, you know, to be in that running. So there's so many pieces out there. Tomorrow's going to be great. I'm, like I said, I'm going to church early.
All right.
So I won't miss anything.
And sit in the back just in case the pastor get long-winded or they may take up an extra collection. Sit back by the ushers.
And I got one, too, because it's second Sunday. So.
Okay, now, you got to tell me this. Who do you think is going to win this game tomorrow? Is it going to be Caitlin and her team, or is it going to be our Lynx?
I would say Minnesota because they only been on one. They only lost two consecutive games once this year. I think they pissed off. I hate to use that word because it's a family show, but they upset from losing last night. I mean, they got beat. I mean, badly. So I think they want to send a message, and then you know your fans are rabid at Target Center, and so therefore they might like Caitlin, but they like the Lynx more. So I give the edge to Minnesota tomorrow.
All right, you heard it here first. Hall of Fame broadcaster, Minnesota spokesman, recorder's own Charles Harmon joining us on the Shaletta Show, courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Uncle Charles, thank you so much for hanging out with me for a little bit today.
Oh, thank you for having me. Now I can go back to work. Oh, yeah, I just said, you told me I'm not supposed to be working. Okay.
You're not supposed to be working, sir. When you go into the Hall of Fame for anything, you are supposed to be on the beach in a cabin near a lake. You are not supposed to be still cranking out 3 or 5 stories a week. It's not.
Well, it's raining over here. It's been raining over here, so I got the lake.
Sir, that's called a ditch. It's called a puddle. All right, Uncle Charles, we'll talk soon. And y'all keep laughing and keep listening. We'll be right back. It is 12:35, and you are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. It's the Shaletta Show. My name is Shaletta Brundage, and I'm the host of the show. Now, I have to tell you, any friend of mine is a friend of mine. So when my friend Chantel Booker called me and said, you have got to get my friend Shanae Hebert on your show. She's got a book. It's a guided journal, and it is amazing. It is changing lives. You know, a lot of us have dreams and visions and aspirations of writing a book or getting a journal written, and she's done that, and you will absolutely enjoy it. So I said, Shanae, I need you to send me one of your guided journals so that I can have it here at my house. Well, what had happened was when Andrew's graduation took place, some of my friends and family from Houston came, and they fell in love with the journal as well. So they took my guided journal. They didn't care that I had written in it. They could care less. They wanted that journal for themselves because they saw how beautiful it was, how it so well put together, and they just wanted that for their lives so they could reset and recalibrate. You know, half the year has passed. Half the year has already gone by, and most of us have forgotten those resolutions that we made in January, those promises that we made, not to other people, but to ourselves, to start that business, to go ahead and get that passion project off the ground, to start volunteering, to lose that weight, to let go of that bad relationship, to start a new one. We forgot it. We got back into the routine of just doing things the same old way we've been doing it. But it's a time for something new. This is a new season. And so for me, and the reason that everybody was over here fighting and playing rock, paper, scissors over Shanae's guided journal is because it is helping us to remember the promises we made to ourselves in January and then reclaim the newness that we promised to usher in and to experience for ourselves. Nobody can do it for us. We've got to do it for ourselves. This success walk ain't easy. I tell people all the time, if success was easy, everybody would be successful. And the reason that everybody ain't successful is because it's not easy. But this guided journal has absolutely handicapped it for us and is giving us the soul yearning that we need to get it done. And that's what it's called. It's called Soul Yearning, a professional black woman's guided journal for healing and restoration. And I am so honored to have Shanae Hebert on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline joining me on the show today. Thank you so much for being on the Shaletta Show. First time here.
Yes, thank you for having me. And I love the intro, Shaletta. And I just want to be clear, my name is Shanae Hebert. You put a fancy spin on it. I love that.
Girl, you know what? I'm from Louisiana, so Herbert looks like a bear.
It looks French,
so. Girl. And then you got good hair, so you just going to have to forgive me, girl. You can't come up here with a bear and French hair and not expect me to put some French on there. So it's Herbert. I got it, girl. I got it. Herbert. And somebody got my journal. I had to ask you to send me a PDF copy just so I could prep for the show.
I got you. And anybody else that want one, I have you.
Okay, now this guided journal, how did it come about? What gave you the idea to put something like this together specifically for black and brown women?
Absolutely. So I am a black woman, right? And like many women, I am a mom. I am a daughter. I'm a professional. I'm a circle keeper. And I have two daughters, right? And I was at the point where my oldest daughter just graduated from college and my youngest is in high school and she's involved in all of these things and being recognized for a lot of things. And I felt like, what do I have, right? Once they go on to college and, you know, go off into their careers, and I had to think back and say, like, Shanae, girl, what do you have that's only yours? Because like most parents, you know, we live for our children. And at the end of the day, I want to be able to say that I'm not just a mom, right? That I am a whole human being with dreams and passions and, you know, aspirations that are separate from them. And so I wanted something for myself. And so for my 45th birthday, I turned 45 this year. I was I was like, I am going to write a book. And it's ideas that I've had in my head, but I just didn't have the drive to get it done. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, get it done. Get it done. And it just so happens, you know, serendipity happens where you start thinking about things, or maybe it's the algorithm. But my good friend Nicole Pacini had an online class where she was teaching people how to publish a journal in 30 days. And it was just right on time.
Yes, I love her because what she and so many others are doing is they are turning the publishing industry upside down and on its head. It used to be that you had to put together your best stuff, give it to a publisher, hope and pray they pick you, hope and pray that you can find a literary agent. And then if they say no, then that dream dies right there on the vine. But with Nicole and Devana and so many others and Amazon, you can publish your book and put it up for sale on Amazon, and people all over the country can buy it. You can have a number one bestseller and not have a publisher. So long gone are the days where the little old cat ladies, because that's who they were, that's who publishers were, sit back and throw away your manuscripts. If you have an idea for a book or a journal in your heart or in your head, you can get that thing published without a publisher and get it online and get it sold to your friends and family and to the world. Now, I have to tell you, I love this guided journal that you have put together. It is called Soul Yearning by Shanae Herbert. And my favorite part, of course, I skipped all the way to career, because I don't care nothing about love. I don't care nothing about relationships. I don't care nothing about body. I'm going right to career. And, you know, I tell people all the time, there's a price to pay for being the woman out front. So when I got to chapter 12, talking about the price we pay, it really touched my heart, because people are like, oh, you're always out front and you're always doing this and you're always doing that. But behind the scenes, there's always a price to pay. Talk to me about chapter 12 and the price we pay for breaking the mold, following your heart and giving it all you got to be successful in your career.
Yeah, so I love that chapter. When I got started with writing it, there was lots of emotions that came up. And I just so happened to be, when I wrote this book, I was actually laid off from a job that I had and that I was passionate about. And as I was writing it, again, the emotions came up because as Black women, we exist in spaces that are not, that are oftentimes not conducive to our success, to our well-being, to our mental health, to our stability. And we're kind of at the whim of our employer. And so it's always like our socialization says you have to work, you have to hold these positions, you have to grow in your position, and you have to give it your all. And we do that sometimes to our detriment, right? And we work hard and we work hard, so much so that we wind up having health issues. We wind up having, you know, for some even mental health breakdowns. And so that chapter is just about that, like the price that we pay when we're in these working spaces. We give up all of ourselves to perform in our 9-to-5, and how it's important to prioritize our well-being, right, our sanity, and sometimes even walking away because we are not our careers. Although it consumes most of our days, we are so much more.
Yes, we are. And folks will find so much more in this guided journal that you have written. Tell us where it's available, how we can get it, please.
Yes. So it is currently on Amazon.com. And so if you type in Soul Yearning, a professional guided journal, it will be there. You can definitely get it there. I am working toward getting it into local bookstores, and so that will be coming up soon. But the primary place that you can get it is
Amazon. And, you know, Prime Days is coming up, right? Mm-hmm. July 16th mm-hmm. and 17th, I believe. And so this is a good opportunity while you are taking advantage of those Prime Days on Amazon, because everybody got Amazon. Everybody got Amazon. We all got the Prime membership. So it is so easy to get on there, find the journal, look up Shanae Herbert and Soul Yearning, pick that up. And you know, we have a lot of listeners who are grandmothers of young Black girls who are graduating from college and graduating from high school. And they have DM'd me and texted me and said, hey, you know, I want to get something culturally appropriate for my granddaughter. I'm a little old white lady. I don't know what to get for a young Black girl who's graduating from high school or college. You have been a young Black girl graduating from both high school and college. What can we get them? And I have been quietly suggesting that they pick your book up. Right.
Oh, it's
nice to put a little money in their pocket, you know, give them $50 or $100. But what I've been suggesting that they do, and what I've been doing as well to the Black women who have been graduating from high school and college in my circle, like Tasha English's daughter over at Shiloh Baptist Church in St. Paul. She had a baby graduate. Put that money inside of this book. Put the money inside of the guided journal, put it in a little gift bag and give it to them, because it's going to feed their bellies as well as their souls. Shanae, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you coming by.
Thank you. For sure. I'm so grateful that for you to even ask. I'm so grateful to just talk to you because I know you're doing amazing things in community. So thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. And just know you have earned and deserved the right to be here. So oftentimes as women, we are grateful to a fault. And so this book is amazing. This book is changing lives. So every stage you get, every light you get, every opportunity you get, you have damn well earned it by putting your blood, sweat, and tears into this book, because you could have taken these lessons and bettered yourself. You could have taken these lessons and got to your next level of greatness and to hell with the rest of us. But you took this, these lessons that you've learned and put them into a book so that we can all as women succeed together. And that is commendable. That is why you are on the show, and that is why you deserve the light that you're getting.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. And y'all don't go anywhere. Stick around. The storm wasn't the only thing rumbling in Cottage Grove, honey. We got some political shakeups, and we got to talk about it when we come back. I was trying to find something to do tonight because this is my weekend without the kids. So this whole co-parenting is what they're calling it now. I don't like that term. I don't like the term co-parenting because you're just parenting. You know, I don't like that term. I don't like co-parenting at all. But it's my weekend without my children at the house, right? Not that they didn't come by because somebody forgot the pajamas and somebody forgot their purse and somebody forgot their money for snacks. So they did make a cameo this morning right before the show and visited me and kissed me. And I got a chance to pray for them before Sean took them skating somewhere. And I got skating videos popping up in my phone right now of the kids enjoying themselves skating and having such a good time. But, you know, so I didn't know what was going on today. I'm like, okay, so what do I do with myself? I don't have to find a sitter. I don't have to go looking for somebody to babysit the kids and then pay them and then train them and make sure they understand kids with autism and so they won't run out of the house and that kind of thing. They're with their dad. And so now I got to figure out, what do I do with me? And so Josh was like, oh, there's an Earth, Wind & Fire concert tonight. I'm like, what? So I might call up my friend Carrie Ring, because the last time Earth, Wind & Fire was here with Lionel Richie, she and I went together and we had a great time. I came home with blisters on my feet because we stood up and danced all night. But I guess I could call Steve Simpson, Mr. Opening Night, because if there is ever a concert or anything going on in the Twin Cities, Steve Simpson absolutely knows about it. And not just that, as soon as the tickets go on sale, he is there and he is buying tickets and he is taking selfies and pictures. I just don't know how he goes to work the next morning.
He's actually going with Vanita tonight.
He's going with Vanita. Okay,
oh, yeah.
See, you know what? You know what?
He said, Shaletta, no thanks. I'd rather go with Vanita.
He said he's always going with Vanita. And I don't appreciate the fact that he always picking her over me. I'm gonna have to leave him a nasty note when I get back to work, if I ever go into the building. But I'm so excited that my friend Brian McDaniel with Hilden Advocacy and Law, political analyst, you've seen him on Tom Hauser's At Issue on KSTP. You've seen him on Twin Cities Public Television. He has a podcast. He is on the Hill. He helped me organize Black Entrepreneurs Day at the Minnesota State Capitol 2 years ago. A very good friend and trusted confidant. He is coming on the show later. Because there's a bunch of, the storm was not the only thing rumbling in Cottage Grove yesterday. Okay. There is some mess going on in the Republican Party. So we've been having a lot of knocks at the doors, right? Because there are three candidates right now out in my district running. And one of them has dropped out. He's going to tell us who it is and why. When he is a part of the show. So you want to stick around to get the tea on that. It's the Shaletta Show. We'll be right back.